Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But I have seen Jason Longshore. As a matter of fact, I saw him for the first time on Saturday night on video, Facebook Live, actually, and him and Mike Conti were there calling the match, and it felt somewhat normal to see Jason and Mike calling a match. And Jason Longshore, who is the analyst for Atlanta United, joins us right now to talk about what we saw Saturday and what we might see looking ahead to Thursday. Jason, how weird did it feel to be back under these circumstances?
So it felt somewhat normal for you. It did not feel very normal for us calling it, because we called it from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so you know, we're used to going in there to work. That's great, but there's no action on the pitch in front of us. We're watching it off a giant TV, and it's just different. You know, it's hard to pick up everything. It's a different feel, but it felt really weird until maybe 5-10 minutes into the match, and then it started to feel like, okay, now, you know, we're back in a little bit of a rhythm, Mike and I, and it started to feel like, you know, old times.
And it did feel like old times with the Red Bulls. And I know that, you know, style mm-hmm. makes the fight, and, you know, getting some of their guys back, like Florian Bellot. And look, it was a beautifully timed play. It's the kind of stuff that we've seen before with us, with Joseph. I mean, it's the kind of thing we can do. And they just did it early. And it just, talk about, we'll go through the game chronologically, but why were we so discombobulated on the back line?
Because you hadn't played a game in 4 months. I mean, honestly, it's that simple, and I know that sounds like an excuse and a cop-out and, you know, whatever you want to call it. You haven't played in 4 months, and you didn't have any preseason games. You trained, and training, I think, showed late in the match where Atlanta United looked really fresh and was going for it and throwing everybody forward. They didn't look fatigued. I thought the Red Bulls looked tired at the end. Atlanta did not. But early in the match, it's hard to be mentally sharp in those moments, and that's where the Red Bulls will punish you. I think we get hung up on their press a lot of times, but it's their transition play that makes them a dangerous team, and that goal is a prime example. If you go back and look at it, Franco Escobar is pushed up very high, pressuring the play. He goes in for a tackle. It's a 50-50 ball that pops over to Tom Barlow. Tom Barlow, the forward for the Red Bulls, drops it back to Kaku first time, no touch. One single pass, through, splits all the defenders. Florian Bellot keeps his composure and beats Brad Guzan. It was that simple for them because they were sharp in a moment that they thrive in, and Atlanta's back line was pulled apart in a moment that they weren't quite ready for, and they got better as the night went on, but they were punished early, and they couldn't find the goal to make up for it.
Jason Longshore, our guest, talking about Atlanta United. We lose 1-0. Thursday, we'll take on Cincinnati. Speaking of the match, what stood out to you then? Because, again, we can talk about all the things that didn't feel right or look right, whether it was timing or the fact they haven't played in 4 months. Okay, so what felt right then? What did look good?
As the night went on, I think the attack looked better and better. Ezequiel Barco took a knock in training, and not having him for 90 minutes or even more than 30 was a big loss for Atlanta United. When he came on, things looked even better. I thought Adam John came on and looked really mm-hmm. good and made the attack, you know, a little simpler, a little easier to follow, and a little more cohesive. I think it was difficult early on with Manuel Castro, with Mateo Sotetu, in their first start with the team, and in a front three that I think could be very dynamic, but it takes some time to build that chemistry, and it looked a little disjointed early on. So you created 10 chances on the night. You had four shots on. You created 10 chances. You didn't have bad passing numbers against the Red Bulls, which generally happens. You completed big switches. You were doing all the things that you want to do in the build-up phase of play and in the midfield third. The final third wasn't good enough, and it came back to bite you because you created the chances to get a result here, but you couldn't find the back of the net.
It's our man, Jason Longshore. He and Mike Conte, again, continue to have the call as this MLS is back tournament continues. In this, again, we got no margin for error now, Jason, and talk about that. But also, I thought Bello did a really nice job. It was. Am I being too hard on Hazeto? It seemed like we had a lot of turnovers. I mean, I know the Red Bulls caused that, but we coughed it up a lot.
You really didn't, though. And that's the thing. When you look back at the numbers and you look at how many times Atlanta United was dispossessed, you know, the Opta numbers come back with six. That's probably a low ever. Against the Red Bulls. The passing percentage was over 80%, might be the highest. I think with Hosetu, in the role he was in, I found that chemistry with Pity Martinez, who I thought was excellent on the night, and Manuel Castro, because Hosetu's touches, a lot of them came out wide, and a lot of them came fairly deep around midfield. There wasn't enough touches, especially in the first half, in that final third inside the 18. It took too long for Atlanta United to find those combinations. It got much better with Ezequiel Barco coming on. And I think it really did get better with Adam John. I thought he came on and gave you a good performance late. And it wouldn't surprise me if he gets the start on Thursday after that performance.
Jason, let me ask you something. Some people say it's hypothetical. What if we had Gressel, LGP, Darlington Nagbe? Did you think there would have been a different result with the experience that was on that club and experience that we lost this offseason?
It's not about the individuals, but it's about the people playing together. Because, you know, you mentioned Castro and Hosetu and Pitti, they'd never played together. The back line had never played together this season with Meza, with Robinson, with Escobar. And when you're in a moment where you're trying to find chemistry, it's hard when you don't get the games to do it. If this situation had happened, which you couldn't predict a global pandemic that would stop the season for 4 months, but if you knew you were going to have a four-month break, you'd like to have as much continuity as possible. It would have made it easier in those moments because you wouldn't have needed as many preseason games to get through it. But the individuals, I think the performance was good enough to get a result. The final bit of quality, I mean, we saw it with Castro's flubbed chances, it wasn't good enough in the final third, and You have to find the back of the net, and Atlanta did not do it.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys. Follow him at Longshoe. He'll answer all your questions. He'll dialogue with you. He'll talk soccer. Any game that's being played in the world, he's like he knows about it. It's like ESP. He can give you information on it. Jason, I thought that Brad Guzan did a fantastic job because, you know, let's be honest, if Brad doesn't make two amazing saves, we might have lost 3-0.
Yeah, four shots on target for the Red Bulls. They had six on the night. The best save I thought he had was the one on Daniel Royer. Gave Atlanta a little bit of confidence. Royer timed his run perfectly, stayed onside, and Brad stayed big on that near post and made the save with his left leg. That's experienced goalkeeping, and that's what Brad Guzan gives you in spades. I thought his throws were a really important part of Atlanta's attack as the night developed, too. You know, a lot of times we see Brad with those punts or those kicks into the corners of the midfield or of your half. He started to throw low and out wide to Bello, to Mulroney, to Brooks Lennon, and open the game up. That was a really nice little bonus that we haven't seen as much from Brad Guzan. But you mentioned Bello a minute ago. How about Bello in his first start since the beginning of the 2019 season with the first team was really good and nearly had a goal to show for it.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
Hit
the crossbar, right?
Yep.
Off the crossbar was a good ball from Pitti Martinez, and Bello was dangerous throughout, and I thought he got better defensively throughout. That's the part of his game that he can continue to improve. But he was better by the time he came off from when he started, and that's what you want to see with a young player.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's fair to say, it's Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. We'll ask you about Cincinnati here in a second, but it's fair to say our club's going to get better. I'm not worried, you know, or any of that. I mean, like you just said, I mean, it's been 4 months. Would I have liked to get a W? Of course. But I do think more time on the pitch together, and we're going to be fine. I really think this club will come into its own and you know, will find itself, as we've seen our other teams over the last few years. What about Cincinnati? What should we know heading into Thursday?
Cincinnati's a team you have to win this match, because 3 points can get you through in this kind of scenario where four third-place teams get through. It might only be 3 points that you need to get to the knockout round. Cincinnati's the team that's a little more likely after that last result where Columbus took care of them 4-0. I thought Cincinnati looked good in the first 10-15 minutes. When they gave up the goal to Zellerion, their heads dropped and confidence was absolutely gone, and they were shredded by the Crew as the night went on. So you need to take advantage of those moments. I think the movement up top is going to be key in a game like this. That's why maybe Adam John, with his size and his just ability to be that outlet if needed, can occupy the center backs for Cincinnati, who struggled. Kendall Lawson struggled on Saturday night. I thought a lot of times Jossie Zardes was finding space to the outside of Lawson and to the inside of the right back, Saad Abdul-Salam. That's a great spot where we see Pitti Martinez pop up very often. Adam John can get into that role as well. You want to get into those pockets of space, because Cincinnati, this will be game two under Jaap Stam, their new manager. Mm-hmm. They looked disjointed when they got put under pressure. You want to put them under pressure early.
Hey, just real quick before we cut you loose, because I know I heard you talking about, again, listen to guys, you can just sync up. It's the easiest way is go to radio.com, and you can sync up Jason and Mike. And I did not like the pumped-in crowd noise. That's why I immediately went to you guys. But I heard you talking about it. When the ref is allowing the physicality of the Red Bulls, is that just always going to be a long night for us? Because Pitti was just getting mugged, and anytime we touched somebody on their side, we'd get the yellow card.
Yeah, it was a tough refereeing assignment for Atlanta, because as you get to know the referees in the league, Alan Chapman is one who doesn't blow the whistle very often, and he throws a lot of cards typically. And that's why I expected, and I think you could hear my frustration in it as the night went on, because it became a tactic for the New York Red Bulls. Pitti Martinez was beating people on the dribble with ease, and he was getting fouled, which is the smart play. It's what you have to do as a defender. We saw Franco Escobar get a yellow. Very right. Similar situation in the first half. Pitti himself got a yellow, very similar situation. But there were no yellows to the Red Bulls, and you have to protect the players like Pitti Martinez. You know, talented, skillful players, when they're fouled five times in a match mm-hmm. and there's no yellow to show for it, something's disconnected.
Jason, always good to have you on, man. This feels normal because we do this at least twice a week, usually once at the beginning and then heading into the weekend. And so we look forward to our visits, man, as our team continues to grow. Thursday matches at 9 a.m., correct? 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. We'll be on at 8:30 with the Five Stripes countdown. We'll have the full-time report after the match. Hey, it might be the first time we've ever had a check-in where I come on with you guys on a match day after the game's been played.
I know. That's true.
Man, that's weird. A little early for me. I'm going to really have to get my work on that. Holy cow.
Hey, Jason, take care, man. Be safe, and we'll listen on Thursday, brother.
Thanks, y'all.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.